The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This message, digging and redigging their spiritual wells, is what we're talking about. And sometimes we've dug wells, and then there's sometimes that we just need to redig those wells. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. How important it is to recognize that, you know, we do spiritual things. We do things that we feel are necessary, and we take the right steps, and we dig the right wells. But life happens, and life can be difficult. And when life happens, sometimes we, and it's unintentional, but we allow the enemy to fill those wells in. And they have to be redug. There's nothing wrong with that. It's something that we have to recognize. Hey, this is a point in my life. I've got to redig this well. Let's get serious about this again. Let's see what God is doing. So with that preface to my message, and I thank you, Deb, for your testimony, we want to talk about digging and redigging for living water. Water is important, but we want to dig for living water. I'm going to start off with Genesis chapter 21, verse 29. And then Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven lamps which you have set by themselves?" And he said, "You have taken these seven ewe lambs from my hand. You will take these seven ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well." Now, what I want you to, I want to give you a little bit of backstory on this. Abraham had dug a well. The Philistines, some of the Philistines had come along and actually apprehended that well from Abraham. They had taken it, and Abraham knew Abimelech, the king, so he asked the king to come and talk with him. And they had a meeting. And Abraham, what Abraham is doing is explaining to Abimelech that he dug this well, and I'm going to give you these seven lambs as a witness to the fact that I dug this well. And Abimelech said, okay. Abimelech says in this particular story, I had no idea that they took the well from you, and this will not happen again. So as the leader, he made a pact. He made a contract, a covenant, if you will, from a biblical perspective, a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham gave him those animals as a witness to the fact that he actually dug the wells, and the well was now his. Now, I go through all that this morning because I want you to understand that Abraham was a well digger. Wherever he went, he dug wells. Now, it was important. You know, we know that Abraham was a man of great faith, right? And sometimes we get the idea, well, if we're a person of great faith, then we don't have to do anything. God's going to do it all. God provided for Abraham wherever he went, but Abraham recognized that if there was going to be a well, God wasn't going to miraculously create that well. He had something for Abraham to do, and they had to dig the wells. Now, here's the important thing about Abraham using his faith. He used his faith and wisdom that God gave him to know where to dig those wells. That's why it's so important that we recognize when we're digging spiritual wells that we dig the proper wells and we dig them in the right place. At these spiritual wells, now some of this stuff that I'm talking to you about right now, you're probably saying, where in the world is Pastor Rob going with this? Please give me some time and I'll bring it around to you so that we'll understand. Because spiritual wells, our wells are drying up, and sometimes they're just filled up. And we've got to get those wells back to the place where living water is gushing from them. Abraham was a well digger, and yet wherever he went, he dug wells. Wells were very important in Abraham's time, because those who dug wells and found water, that's the reason the Philistines wanted to take them from him, was because whoever controlled the wells controlled the land and miles around. So a well was a status symbol. A well was a symbol of power and authority. Abraham dug wells. And the Bible tells us he became a mighty man, strong, powerful, and he controlled a lot of property. Sometimes it wasn't necessarily in his name, but God promised him, in the future, this land will be yours and your descendants. I want you to get a hold of this fact that sometimes we do not see the complete fulfillment of God's promise to us in this life. But if God made a promise to you, he's going to fulfill it. He will do it. I recall a story that I heard about a great evangelist, trying to remember his name. But anyhow, someone asked him one time, when you pray for people, those who you're praying for, have you always seen an answer to your prayers? And he said, yes, I can say that I've always seen some kind of answer to my prayers, except for one situation. I've been praying for this gentleman to get saved, and it hasn't happened. And it didn't happen his whole life, the evangelist's life. He loved this person. It was a family member, and he prayed for them, and they did not get saved. However, at his funeral, the evangelist's funeral, a message was given of salvation, and his loved one came to Christ. God's fulfillment. Now, it wasn't that, Smith Wigglesworth, that's who it was. Smith Wigglesworth, mighty man of faith and power. He understood the things of God, and yet he didn't see the fulfillment. You're not always going to see the fulfillment of God's promise in your life, but I can guarantee you this, God's promises are true. Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. Hallelujah.
And they will be fulfilled. All right. We sometimes forget how precious water is. I mean, all we got to do, I got to go to my tap in my house, in my kitchen, and turn on the faucet, and there's my water. Wow, that's pretty incredible. But we forget how awesome that is.
That's right.
You know, it really hasn't been that many years ago in this area that not everybody had such access to fresh, clean water. We had, you know, people had to use cisterns. They dug wells sometimes that were not very good wells. And in fact, where we live, they had a hard time finding water. We live on a great, you know, a huge hill above the Ohio River, and it was hard to find water in that place. So they had a hard time finding water. They had to use cisterns. They dug wells that were actually pits that gathered water from surface water, but they had very little actual wells to be able to get clean, fresh water. And then we got Tepper's Plains Chester water. Now, some people would say that's not fresh, clean water, but because it has C8 in it. However, it is life-giving water. Amen. And there are problems with the water all over the United States. There are some things called PFAS, that's short for polyfluoroalkyl chemicals. These are the chemicals that are used to make nonstick pans, Tupperware, plasticware, things that we store our food in. And what they're saying is that those chemicals have entered our drinking water and our food to the point that they're almost positive that every person in the United States has these chemicals in their bloodstream. It's tainted. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you. You know, if that bothers you, get a Berkey filter. That's what I have. I put my water in there and I drink out of that. You know, if that helps you, it might help you a little bit. I don't always drink out of it, but it just makes me feel better. What can I say? It may not be doing a whole lot, but it makes me feel better. So what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that water is so precious. We have to have it. We need it. We can. What do they say? You can only go for about 3 days without water. You have to have water to survive. And yet the water that we have, it may not be the best water for us, but it's what we have. Here's what I want you to understand this morning as I relate this stuff to the spiritual side of life. And that is that sometimes we allow our spiritual wells to become tainted. And it's okay to start redigging. It's okay to recognize that those wells need to be cleaned up. Let's look at it. Let's clean it out. Let's keep it clean. Now, as I was thinking about this thing of fresh, clean water, I was thinking about my cousins who don't live around here, but they were three ornery boys when they were growing up. I was pretty close to a couple of them. One of them was a little older. But they were always getting into some kind of, not terrible, mean or nasty people, just ornery boys. You know, I have a couple of grandsons that are kind of like that, just ornery little boys. They get into things. Thank God they're able to get into things. But anyhow, I was thinking about the story that I heard when I was growing up that the older one asked the younger one time when they were in bed, he asked the younger one to get him a glass of water. So he brought him in a glass of water. And he took that glass of water and he started to chug it. He took a drink of it and he noticed the little guy over there laughing. Not only was he laughing, but the other one was laughing. And he put it down and he said, "Where did you get this water?" He said, "Out of the commode." That was funny to him. He thought it was awesome. None of us think it's very funny. Really, I mean, when we start thinking, oh, that's gross. But ornery little boy. You don't want to drink water from a commode. And yet, when it comes to spiritual water, sometimes we drink it right out of the sewer. Oh, come on, sir. Come on, sir. It's tainted. Hallelujah. You know, we used to have an aerator system where we lived at one time. And that aerator pump, it would stir up the sewage and water would come out the end of that pipe. And they always said, "That water is pure enough you could drink it." But I never saw any of them try it. Because none of us want to drink sewer water. And we do not want to have sewer in our spiritual lives. Let's go on with this. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, what the backstory on this is that Abraham's died. Abraham's passed on. He's with the Lord. And Isaac is now the heir of everything that Abraham had. All the wells, all the cattle, all the servants, all everything that Abraham had, Isaac now has. And yet it appears that Isaac didn't cherish some of the things that God had handed down to him, what his father had handed down to him. And let me tell you something. As an individual that was raised in a Christian home, I can say this. I didn't cherish the things that my parents taught me. I didn't recognize how important it was until later on in life. But thank God, I came to that realization. And that's what we're going to see with Isaac. He suddenly comes to a realization. He suddenly realizes what his father had done for him. Then the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he had become very prosperous. Hallelujah. How many believe in prosperity? Is there anybody in here that you know, you just want to be poor? I don't get any takers for that. And yet when a pastor or a preacher or a teacher talks about prosperity, you get all kinds of condemnation for talking about what the Bible says is our heritage. You hear people say, oh, all he ever talks is about is prospering and finances and money and all that thing. Come on. Not a one of you raised your hand when I said, do you want to be poor? Of course not. Then if you do not want to be poor, you want to be prosperous. Let's get a right mindset about this. I'm not telling you that you're going to be a million billionaire. I'm telling you that God wants to prosper you in order for you to be about the kingdom work. That's what it's all about. Why does God give you wealth? To expand his kingdom. Why does God prosper you and your family? To expand his kingdom. Why does God prosper a church? To expand into his kingdom. That's right. Oh, it's all about the kingdom of God. And if we keep the right mindset on it, we'll be okay. We'll be fine. As long as we do not allow the love of money to overtake us. And that's a battle sometimes in people's lives. We cannot love the things of this world. We must love Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Ooh, I love it. The enemy envies you when God prospers you. People who do not understand the power of God and the prosperity of God, they envy you. Stirs them up because they're stirred up to envy because God has his hand on you, on your life, and he's directing you. Now, here's the next part. Now, the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. Now, we don't know how long Isaac was with the Philistines, but verse 8 tells us, if you want to go read that sometime or look at it even now, I don't care, you can go there and look. Verse 8, just to check on me, tells you that Isaac lived with the Philistines a long time. So here's what we've got. I want to put this all in perspective as we're talking about it. Here's what we have. We have a man that God blessed, Abraham, and he dug wells. And there was fresh, clean water coming out of those wells. And then his son inherits everything that he has. And his son, for some reason, well, there was a famine, but still, there was no reason for him to abandon those wells. But his son went to live with the Philistines. Now, I just want to ask you, do you think you might be living with the Philistines this morning? Think about it. Now, I'm not here judging you. I'm just saying you have to decide that. Are the Philistines controlling your life? Have the Philistines filled in your spiritual wells? Has the Philistines put junk and garbage in your life? You're the only one that can answer that. But I want to bring you to the place where you at least think about it this morning. Philistines stopped up those wells because Isaac neglected those wells. Isaac went to live with the Philistines, and he allowed those Philistines to impact his life, to move him away from what was really important, and that was those wells that his father had dug. Isaac actually moved in with the Philistines. He got buddy-buddy with the Philistines. He started having parties with the Philistines. He started living with the Philistines. He was just part of the group. Are you part of the group? Are you part of the group at work? Are you part of the group on Facebook? Are you just going along to get along? How are you living? I got to tell you this. Abraham dug the wells. But here's what we're going to see. That is that Isaac had to redig the wells. Now I want to tell you something. God will allow you to stay in that place with the Philistines as long as you choose to do that. But I will tell you this. If you're his, he will make you very uncomfortable. And that's my job this morning. I'm not trying to comfort you. I'm trying to cause you to see how important it is to keep those spiritual wells clean. My job is to comfort the afflicted, but it's also to afflict the comfortable. And that's what I have to do. I love the Lord, and I want to do that. And sometimes that makes me uncomfortable. You know, I'm a people pleaser. I like to make people happy. Yeah, it makes me feel good. But you know, as a pastor, I've discovered it's impossible to please everybody. I cannot please everyone. Therefore, I have to do what God tells me to do and let the dominoes fall. Those who want to be comforted by the word of God and change the direction of their life, they will fall in line. Hallelujah. Those who do not will go off. They'll go their way. They'll do their thing. They'll whine. They'll complain. They'll accuse. They'll do whatever. But we cannot be concerned with that. We must be concerned with what is right and what is good, what God wants. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 16 now, it says, "And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.'" See, God actually was forcing Isaac to get out of his comfort zone. He was putting him in a position where he had to move away from the Philistines, get away from that comfortable lifestyle that he was in. And he had to be confronted with the fact that he had wells that needed some attention. "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." Now listen to this. Genesis 26, 18. "And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Here is what's happening. Abraham dug the wells. And praise God, I want you to dig wells. Some of you may be in here this morning, and you've never had any spiritual wells dug for you. I did have. But my parents, neither one of them came from Christian homes. They had good, they were good people. I wouldn't necessarily say always good homes, but they were good people. They had good influence, but they didn't have any biblical training, really Christian church training like you need to have as a believer in Jesus Christ. So when they got saved, they had to dig those spiritual wells themselves. Some of you are sitting in here and you have to dig those wells. You don't have any influence from the past. You don't know what it's like to dig the spiritual wells, but you've got a shovel and you're ready. You want to dig. You understand what it means to dig spiritual wells. You know what I'm talking about. Living water flowing. You got to dig. And then some of you sitting in here this morning are like me. My parents dug those spiritual wells for me, but I let the Philistines fill it up with trash. I allow those spiritual wells just to get all nasty and garbage in them because that's what Philistines do. Philistines are nasty people. I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about spiritual world here. We're talking about principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness of this world, their desire is to kill, steal, and destroy, because that's the enemy that we have. So what happened in my life was I let those things fill up, and then I had to go back and redig them. Now, I want you to understand, if you're digging for the first time, that's hard work. This spiritual life that we lead as believers in Jesus Christ, making Christ your personal Savior is the easy part. Then you have to start digging. Jesus' gift is free. It's the grace of God by faith. With grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. That's basic tenets of our faith. It's not anything that we do. But then there's a place where, yeah, this is all by faith. But just like Abraham, he had to get the shovels out and start digging. You have to dig. You have to do the right things. You have to have the right principles and precepts and the Word of God in your life. And you're not going to get it unless you follow the principles that the Word of God lays out for us. Your spiritual wells either need to be dug or they need to be redug. And I had to redig. You know, it was a little easier redigging. Because that dirt's still soft. Anybody, have you ever dug in a place where somebody has already dug? It's easier, isn't it? I got one person. Anybody else? Anybody in here dig? Man, I've dug ditches for a living, so I understand. But I know this, that if that soil's been disturbed, it's much easier to dig in. So it's easier to redig. But it's still difficult because sometimes when you're redigging, all of a sudden you run onto a piece of trash. And that piece of trash is in there because you allowed the enemy to put those things. Or sometimes not because you allowed it, because it happened because of your lifestyle. And the enemy has put trash and garbage in there. I hope that this is making sense to you. My analogy with digging these wells, because it's so important to us. Isaac dug again. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. This is so important. My family dug wells. They dug spiritual wells. And the wells that we're going to talk about, and I'm not going to get there this morning, so it's going to be digging and redigging too. But the wells that I'm talking about are spiritual wells that every person has to dig in their life or redig. I'm talking about salvation. Everybody has to dig it. I'm talking about repentance. Everybody has to dig it. I'm talking about holiness. Everyone has to dig it. Can you dig it? I hope. Amen. And Isaac dug the wells of water which he had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. This is an important aspect of this. You got to call them by the same name. You got to call them by their real name. You cannot call salvation church attendance. Salvation is salvation. You're saved by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Going to church isn't going to save you. You're not saved because your parents were saved. I wasn't saved because my parents were saved. My parents laid a foundation for me. They dug a well. I let that well fill up. But one day I came to the realization, just like Isaac, I need that well for myself and for my family. And I want you to dig these wells not just for you, but for your family. If my parents hadn't dug those wells, I don't know where I'd be today. But they chose to dig the wells. God's calling you to dig or redig these wells. Salvation is not just church attendance. You can go to church your whole life and still go to hell. Salvation is understanding Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The other thing that we're going to talk about is repentance. We cannot rename repentance. There's all kinds of names out there that people want to rename repentance as. One of them is an emotional experience. Well, repentance is not an emotional experience. That's not the well you want to dig when it comes to repentance. Repentance is necessary for each and every one of us to come to the conclusion that we're a sinner and we need to be saved by the grace of God. It's not just an emotion. Man, I can go anywhere. I could go to a rock concert and get emotional. Have my emotions stirred. And I do sometimes have my emotions stirred with music. And that's why it's so important that I listen to the right kind of music. Man, I love the Eagles, and today when I hear an Eagles song, I still have some emotion attached to those songs. That's just the way it is. However, I choose not to fill my life with their music. I choose to fill my life with worship music. Now, I'm not telling you can never listen to the Eagles, you can never listen to Three Dog Night, you can never listen, whoever it is that was... You know, popular. How about trying to think of some other groups? Help me out, Otis. Who would in my what? Yeah, somebody you like?
Tower Power.
Okay. I mean, we all have different likes and dislikes, particularly in music. I was thinking of Lionel Richie. What was his group?
Commodores.
Yeah, I loved the Commodores. They were awesome. And their music, as far as clean and good music, for the most part, you know. But that's not what I fill my life with. I hear it from time to time, and once in a while, I'll listen to some of that music, just for old time's sake. But I'm not going to fill my life with it. Because if I start down that road, guess what? I get to the place where I start living with the Philistines once again. And it's not just, you know, the music. It becomes a lifestyle. And the lifestyle, it causes my spiritual wells to be filled up. The other thing that we're going to talk about is holiness. And you know how the well that we rename it these days is, well, everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it well. So if everyone else is doing it, it's okay for us to do it. I got news for you. It's not okay. It's not okay to do the things the Philistines are doing. The Philistines will destroy you. There is a holiness that God requires from his people. And we're going to talk some about that holiness. But let's name the wells for what they are. Salvation, repentance, holiness. This is what God is requiring of his people. To know what these wells are. To dig them and redig them. I believe if you're listening to this message, you desire to dig or redig these wells. And if you do, that's what I want to do. I want to help you with this. The wells are spiritual wells that can transform your life if you allow them. Here's what Jesus said. He encountered the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." He was talking about the water in the well. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly, the King James says, will flow rivers of living water. So when Jesus was talking to that woman, when he was talking about water flowing, he's talking about spiritual life, something that can be tainted if we're not careful, something that the enemy can use against us if we're not careful. I love it when the King James says, out of your belly, because it's talking about the innermost part of your being. You know, it is your heart. It's who you really are. But how many of you have ever been in a situation where, you know, you felt pain, emotional pain, in your belly? You know, it was coming from deep within you. That's what Jesus is talking about. This is something that it's life-giving because it comes deep from deep within us. And it flows out. And it's the kind of water that is not only good for us, but it's good for everyone else. It flows and overflows. It fills up our cup and it flows into other people's lives. It's a living well, alive. It's an artesian spring that will flow up outside of you. An artesian spring is a spring that's under pressure. And when somebody drills into artesian spring, it doesn't just bubble up in the bottom of the well. It shoots out. And if anything in its way gets cleansed with the water, that's God's goodness for our lives. Now, we're going to, as we continue with this message, we're going to talk about the importance of keeping these wells clean. Once you dig spiritual wells, they must be maintained. They must be kept clean and repaired. Even in Abraham's day, he had to keep going back to those wells, cleaning them out from time to time, keeping them clean so that there would be fresh, clean water flowing out of them. Some of you have had wells, water wells in the past. Sometimes they'll go for years and years, and you'll never have any problems. And then all of a sudden, they get stopped up for whatever reason. It's not that the water's gone. It's that some kind of obstruction got in the way, and they need to be cleaned out. That's what God's speaking to us as a church. Let's keep those wells clean. Let's recognize the importance of them. Let's see what it is that God wants to do in our spiritual lives. Stand with me. We're going to wrap this up. As I was putting together this message, I started thinking about a skit that our drama team, teen drama team, used to do. I think maybe I first saw it with another drama team, but it was, I think the name of it was The Well. But it was a depiction of a person who just got saved. And they got radically saved. And they depicted their salvation as a well, a well that was producing good, sweet, awesome water. And not only would they drink from it, their family would drink from it, other people would come and drink from it. And everyone who tasted that water said, "Oh man, that is good water. That's so sweet and good." And then as life continued to happen, people would come along, people who just got saved, received Christ. They would come along with their garbage. And they were on their way to the dump to get rid of this stuff. And the person who had this clean well said, "Oh, wait a minute, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going to dump this junk." I said, "Oh, well, just put it right here. Put it here in my well. I'll take care of it for you. I'll get rid of it." And this happened two or three times. And after about three times, the person drank their water and they started saying, "Man, there's something wrong with this water." Other people would come along and want some of their water and say, "Man, this water is not as good as it used to be. It's tainted. It had garbage and chemicals in it now." And the only way for that person to get it clean again, they had to recognize that they had garbage in their well. And they had to literally get it out. And this morning, if your spiritual well is filled with garbage, God's ready, if you are, to clean it up. That's what He does. That's what Holy Spirit does in our life. He will do it. He will make it sparkling clean. All we have to do is say, "Father, I know I need help." And He'll be there, filling us up again, cleaning out the well, making the water pure and clean once again. That's the spiritual life. And that's the battle we're going through. Always. It's never too late. It's never impossible. It's always available when we decide that we want to make these changes. Bow your head with me. If you're here this morning and you just feel like you've allowed some things into your life and you just want to get that out. Your spiritual well is tainted. It has chemicals and trash, garbage in it. I ask you just to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just raise your hand this morning. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you for being honest. I'm just going to pray for you right here, right now. You were honest with God, and God's going to move on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Father God, you saw the hands of those who raised their arm, and they did this, Father God, unashamed of the fact that, you know, we're human, and we do things, and we allow things to happen in our lives sometimes. And they just want to move closer to you. They want to get the garbage out of their spiritual well. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you are right now touching the heart and the mind of those who have raised their hand. Lord, in Jesus' name, cleanse their situation, whatever it is. They are coming before you with true repentance and a desire, Father God, to have clean water ushering forth from their innermost being. Rivers of living water. an artesian spring that will fly, that will flow up out of the inside of them. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we are all in agreement and we believe that you're doing a work in these lives. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.